legendary battleship, the USS Missouri, fondly nicknamed the Mighty Mo, saw action in World War II, and it was on the deck of the Missouri that the Japanese government formally surrendered on September 2, 1945. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, aboard the Mighty Mo, as President and Chief Executive Officer of the USS Missouri Memorial Association, Michael Carr, shares insights and tales about the USS Missouri's illustrious career that included duty during the Vietnam War and the Gulf War before retiring from service in 1992. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for coming. December 7th is not traditionally sort of a Missouri date, because the Missouri didn't even exist on December 7th, 1941. But what we represent here at Pearl Harbor, of course, is the end of the conflict for the United States in World War II. The Arizona, which actually where you and I are looking at, which is 500 yards away, represented the beginning. So it's a truly remarkable symbolism here. The keel of the ship was actually laid in January of 1941, and this is the last of the Iowa-class dreadnoughts that was launched by the United States, designed obviously before the war started. But there were actually two more in various stages of construction, clearly in response to the threat all of these ships were built.
Doesn't it impress you to this day just the massive size of this ship?
For your listeners, the ship is 3 football fields long, and as we sit here completely empty, the ship weighs 45,000 tons, is 200 feet from the bottom of our keel to the top of the superstructure. It is an incredible piece of technology and engineering to this day. They say, of course, they don't build them like this anymore, and that's certainly true in the case of battleships. They don't build any of them anymore. This was the last battleship decommissioned in the entire world in March of 1992. She saw action in the first Gulf War, the liberation of Kuwait. These ships are just magnificent pieces of ingenuity. Most people are aware of the fact that this is the ship on which the surrender occurred on September 2nd, 1945. So that's the story that people come to hear. When people come, they are given the choice of taking a guided tour or an acoustic guided tour or a self-guided tour. We always recommend that they take a guided tour because they'll get so much more out of that. When they take the guided tour, they will hear all about the ship and the construction of the ship and the history of the ship. Then they will come up to the surrender deck and hear the story of what happened in those 22 minutes. I mean, I've done this tour a number of times myself, and I could go on for 2 hours about those 22 minutes. Then people go into the aft end of the ship and hear the story of the kamikaze attack, which happened on April 11th, 1945, during the Battle of Okinawa. That's a story that resonates very much, especially with our Japanese visitors. We've expanded that story with the kamikaze exhibit down on the second deck.
Some details about that kamikaze attack.
So on December 11th, 1945, during the Battle of Okinawa, the entire fleet came under a huge kamikaze attack. Most of them were shot down, but one actually made it through all the anti-aircraft fire and hit the starboard side of the ship on the aft end, causing basically a dent on the side of the ship. There were a few injuries from shrapnel and whatnot like that, but the plane blew into a million pieces, and that was it. That was the extent of the damage. The crew recovered the pilot's body and was about ready to throw it overboard when the captain of the ship, the first captain of the Missouri, his name was William Callahan, heard about it and stopped the crew and said, no, we're going to give this young man a decent burial. And there was a lot of people in the crew who didn't feel right and were somewhat indignant about the fact that we were going to honor an enemy, quote unquote. And so William Callahan went on the 1MC, made everybody wake up, and lectured them for 20 minutes about the fact that this young man, obviously scared out of his wits, still did his duty, and performed his love of his country and exhibited all the traits of sacrifice and bravery that William Callahan was trying to instill in every single one of the men on the Missouri. And for that reason and that reason alone, they were going to give him a decent burial. So that really resonated with a few of the crew. They apparently invaded the signal locker, found some remnants, sewed a rising sun flag, and the next day, April 12th, the pilot was buried with a six-gun salute, and that was it. That story really never made it on national news at the time because April 12th, 1945 was the day that Franklin Roosevelt died, and that sort of ate up the news cycle. But it's especially poignant knowing that William Callahan's brother, former Admiral Daniel Callahan, had actually died fighting the Japanese during the Battle of the Philippine Sea about 2 years earlier. So it was really a story that really resonates, obviously, with a lot of our Japanese visitors.
Very powerful. What are some of the other seminal roles that this ship played in World War II?
Well, the ship actually was a very late entry into the war, and other than the invasion of Iwo Jima and Okinawa, those were really the two main battles that the ship fought in. So the ship is most known, of course, as the location of the surrender ceremony. Most of the people in the fleet at the time felt that the Missouri hadn't earned the honor, if you will, of being the site, but because Harry Truman became president on April 12, 1945, Harry always considered this ship to be his ship. His daughter had christened the ship. He spoke at the launching of the ship in January of 1944. As commander-in-chief, it was his decision, and because of that reason alone, this ship is as famous as it is.
That's really interesting.
Some resentment to this day amongst the World War II crews of the various Iowa-class battleships, whom we honor, you know, the older gentlemen, there's still a few of them around. But a lot of the crews feel that the Missouri got an undeserved recognition.
You've been here quite a while now, and the Missouri is a part of your world. You probably dream about it once in a while.
If you come down to my office, you'll see that in my office I'm surrounded by history books. I'm a lover of history, any kind of history, a student of history. I understand the importance of preserving historical treasures such as this, so that you can continue year after year, generation after generation, to tell the story and make people understand it. And you know, people believe that, you know, we're losing a sense of history. Many schools in our country don't have a history curriculum. I find that appalling. Here we have an opportunity to teach that history. And, you know, if the only people that we saw coming across that brow over there were people of my generation and your generation, I would be scared to death about the future of our business. But that is not the case. You see families coming, young families with little kids, and you never know maybe what their connection is. Maybe they had a grandfather who was in the Navy, or a brother, or an uncle who was in the armed services, but some way that they know that this is an important piece of American history.
We were talking earlier about the movie Battleship. Even though that's new and contemporary, it opened the eyes for a lot of young kids that didn't even know about the Missouri existing.
That was a lot of fun, making that movie. That was one of the earlier things that I did. It was a lot of fun meeting all the stars and the director and making the story of the Missouri come to life for, you know, a whole generation of people who may not have a clue what the ship was about.
In your time here, in your interaction with people that come to visit, what are you most touched by about what they're most touched by?
You know, different people are really interested in different parts of the ship. Most guys, you know, like the guns and the fact that the guns could, you know, shoot a shell over the Ko'olau Mountains here that we're looking at. Women, on the other hand, are much more interested in downstairs, which is the living area on the second deck of the ship, was essentially where the whole ship lived. I'll give you one story. Shortly after I first got here, our curator, Michael Weidenbach, was taking a former crew member around from World War II, and he had with him his children and his grandchildren. And he wanted to see where his berth was. And so, Mike, I forget exactly where it was. It was down, you know, even below the second deck. So Michael took them down there. And as they were sitting, it was one of the lower bunks, and he was sitting there, and he reached around behind, and he pulled out a letter from his mother that he had never opened for whatever reason. I mean, they called general quarters. He dropped it. He lost it, whatever, and sat there and read that letter to his entire family. I mean, you can imagine the emotion. And that's what grips me, is when I see former crew members come back, whether it's from the World War II Korean War generation or from the Gulf War generation, guys who are younger than I am, actually. Every one of them, to a man, this ship and their time that they spent on this ship was probably the most important time in their lives. That's what gets to me.
Very poignant.
We have a lot to do here to preserve this ship and to really turn our whole facility into the world-class facility that we all want it to be. We hope that when people have an opportunity and they hear about us reaching out to them for support, that they will respond positively.
Somebody that wants to come to Pearl Harbor, that wants to come see the Arizona and the Missouri and the Pacific Aviation Museum, is there a one price ticket for all?
Oh, of course. The passport to Pearl Harbor, which is available either online or through the National Park Service website or over at the Arizona Ticketing Center, is a product in which includes all four sites all at once. You can go online and get tickets for the Arizona, then get tickets for the other sites, or come to the visitor center and buy whatever combination of attractions that they're interested in. Thank you so much for coming and taking an interest in what we're doing.
Michael Carr, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer. We've been visiting with Michael Carr, President and Chief Executive Officer of the USS Missouri Memorial Association, on board the battleship Missouri, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.